Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Aortic dissections on the rise. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. On November 14, 2006, my husband received a shocking phone call from his stepfather. He called my husband to tell him that his mother had passed away very unexpectedly and very quickly that morning. So quickly, he didn't even have the chance to call and say they were in the hospital before she was gone. They were vacationing in St. Louis when my mother-in-law woke up in the middle of the night with sudden severe back pain. It was so bad, they called 911. When the ambulance got there, she was not just having severe back pain, she was pale, and the responding paramedics found her blood pressure was very low. They raced her to the closest emergency department, ED, which happened to be a very reputable teaching hospital in St. Louis with a huge number of resources. There could not have been a better place for her to go. On arrival to the hospital, a cardiovascular surgeon quickly took her from the ED to the operating room, but they could not save her. She died on the operating table. The cause was a thoracic aortic dissection. It was so shocking to us because his mom always seemed so healthy. That is the big problem with aortic dissections. The conditions that lead up to them are completely asymptomatic until the aorta dissects, and then it's very difficult to save someone, even with the best possible resources. Arteries are the blood vessels that carry blood from the heart to the rest of the body. The aorta is the biggest of all the arteries. It starts at the aortic valve, which is where the blood exits from the heart and runs down the chest and into the belly. At about the level of the top of the pelvis, the aorta splits into two arteries, known as the iliac arteries. Those arteries lead down into the pelvis and then split into smaller and smaller arteries that supply the lower half of the body with blood. Before getting to the legs, up in the chest and abdomen are smaller branches that come off the aorta that supply the head, the arms, and all the organs in the belly. All arteries are made up of three layers of muscle. Each muscle layer runs in a different direction to give the artery wall strength as blood pulses through them at approximately 100,000 times a day. An aneurysm, which is the defect that can lead to dissection, occurs when the layers of an artery split on the inside. When that happens, blood can seep in between the layers, creating a pocket-like area. Because the blood can seep in, but then can't get back out, it sits in that pocket. Blood that sits clots. As more and more blood seeps in, the pocket gets bigger and bigger. As the pocket gets bigger, because the blood clotted inside, it also gets heavier. Eventually, just like if you filled up a sock with rocks, the weight stretches the fabric, in this case the artery walls, thinner and thinner to the point they eventually tear. That is called an arterial dissection. It's bad anywhere in the body because it's internal. It's difficult to stop the bleeding. Emergency surgery is the only solution. An aortic dissection is especially bad because of the sheer volume of blood that travels through the aorta. People with severe aortic dissections can lose their entire blood volume in about a minute. According to the American Heart Association, aortic aneurysms are occurring more and more frequently in all populations over the last decade, but especially in women and in black adults. The causes and risks are the same as most heart and vascular-related problems: uncontrolled high blood pressure, obesity, smoking, and diabetes. Old age is also a risk factor for aneurysms. Aneurysms, for the most part, have no symptoms. Aortic dissections may have symptoms of sudden, severe back pain that radiates downwards, often described as tearing pain, pain in the jaw, neck, shoulder, or arms, and shortness of breath. Paleness, dizziness, cold sweats, and fainting can also be symptoms. If you are experiencing these symptoms, please seek medical attention immediately by calling 911. The good news with aneurysms is we are getting much better at fixing them if we find them before they dissect. Vascular surgeons can now put a special device called a stent into the aorta that blocks off those internal pockets so they cannot keep growing to the point they rupture. Those surgeons insert the stents through a couple of small incisions into the femoral arteries in the groin. Most people only require an overnight stay in the hospital for that procedure. The trick with aneurysms and dissections is, like so many things, prevention by mitigating risk factors and early detection when we cannot prevent. Both are best done by having a good relationship with a primary health care provider and getting routine medical screenings and care. If you have any other risks for aneurysm, please speak to your primary health care provider during your next visit about your individual risks and need for additional screening. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. The office of Congressman August Pfluger is now accepting submissions for the 2022 Congressional Art Competition. The competition is open to all high school students in the 11th Congressional District of Texas and is an opportunity for local artists to be recognized for their talents among artists from around the nation. The deadline is April 25th. Students can register and upload images of their artwork on Pfluger's website, pfluger.house.gov/services/art-competition. The artwork of the winning student will be displayed in the Cannon Tunnel of the U.S. Capitol for 1 year. Winners are eligible to receive a $3,000 a year scholarship to the Savannah College of Art and Design, pending acceptance into the program. The art will be unveiled in a congressional reception in Washington, D.C. in late June, date to be determined. Winners and one guest are invited to the unveiling. Artwork must be two-dimensional and original in concept design and execution. Art must follow the themes of Texas, American patriotism, agriculture, or energy. Dimensions of the artwork can be no larger than 26 inches high, 26 inches wide, and 4 inches deep. Accepted mediums for the two-dimensional artwork are as follows: paintings, oil, acrylics, watercolor, etc., drawings, colored pencil, pencil ink, marker, pastels, charcoal. It is recommended that charcoal and pastel drawings be fixed. Collages must be two-dimensional, prints, lithographs, silkscreen, block prints, mixed media, use of more than two mediums such as pencil, ink, watercolor, etc., computer-generated art, and photographs. For competition's complete rules and regulations, or more information, visit pfluger.house.gov/services/art-competition or contact Casia David in the San Angelo office at 325-659-4010 or email Casia, as spelled C-A-Y-S-S-I-A, David@mail.house.gov. SUA leadership event will feature Dr. John C. Maxwell, Andy Stanley, and Tim Tebow at 9 a.m. Tuesday at Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 in Midland. 100% of the ticket revenue will be donated to a local charity. For tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/2P8S5FM7. Faith Fellowship Lutheran Church at 1603 North Grandview Avenue in Odessa has scheduled Lenten midweek lunch and services from noon to 1 p.m. Wednesdays and April 6th. For more information, call 432-362-2549 or email office@faithfellowshipodessa.org. First Baptist Church of Midland at 2104 West Louisiana Avenue in Midland will present the Cross Before the Crown event from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Wednesday. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/YSU7SY7N. An oil and gas hiring event has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. More than 40 companies will be hiring on the spot. Job seekers need to bring ID, register at the door. The event is free and open to the public. For a full list of positions or information, visit PermianBasinHiringEvents.com. Raw 1899, 38 North Chadburn Street in San Angelo, will present Western Wonder Art Show and Sale, featuring the work of Jean N. Cornell, Thursday through April 30th. The opening reception will take place from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday. There is no cost to attend. Hours are from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. For more information, call 325-703-6899 or visit raw1899.com. National Poison Prevention Week. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. My grandson is that age where he is seriously mobile. He's crawling at high speed and trying very hard to walk, and knowing his personality, running is only a matter of weeks away. With all that mobility has also come curiosity and exploration, and as with all babies and toddlers, curiosity and exploration means everything goes into his mouth. I am finding myself saying yuck, yucky, and bleck, and accompanying those with facial expressions of disgust quite a lot these days. Basically, I'm trying to teach him to not put things that he shouldn't in his mouth. As I was thinking about National Poison Prevention Week and my grandson putting everything in his mouth, I wondered, whatever happened to Mr. Yuck? If talking about grandkids was not enough to betray my age, I guess Mr. Yuck certainly is, but as I think about all the things in our homes that are poisons and dangers to not just kids but adults, I remember how effective Mr. Yuck was and wish he would make a comeback. For those of you who aren't as ancient as I am, Mr. Yuck was a huge public service campaign targeted at teaching kids to stay away from potential poisons in the home. Mr. Yuck looked amazingly like the vomiting emoji we use now, and the idea was to teach kids that when they saw Mr. Yuck on a label, whatever was inside was yucky. Everything from cleaning supplies to over-the-counter medications carried a Mr. Yuck label, sending a strong, clear message to stay away. Unfortunately, not only have we lost Mr. Yuck, we have also had a marketing and culture shift where many things now that are poisonous are also pretty. I think about the detergent pods and their bright colors, the cleaning supplies with their bright labels and flowery scents. Vitamins and over-the-counter medications are now packaged like candy with gummy and chocolate or other confection appearances and flavors. It's not all that surprising when we hear about the poisonings on the news from these products when you think about it. Poisonings aren't just from putting things in mouths of kids. It can be from handling chemicals, medications, and other toxins, or by getting toxins into their eyes or on their skin from splashing. Unfortunately, poisoning is not just kids. It happens to people of all ages. With adults, it can be putting things in their mouths like kids do, but it also can be things like mixing cleaning supplies and creating chemical reactions which give off toxic gases, working with chemicals in poorly ventilated areas, or like kids, handling toxins or getting splashed with toxins. With adults, there is also a bigger risk of exposures outside the home, especially in workplaces that deal with toxins of all sorts, from oil field chemicals to cleaning supplies. With any sort of toxin, the best practice is prevention. At home, keep cleaning chemicals, detergents, medications, and even things like makeup out of the reach of children. Remember that little people are very curious and creative when it comes to getting to those out-of-reach spaces. Cabinet locks and childproof containers are strongly recommended as well for potentially poisonous items. Keep your ears open for things like TikTok challenges that involve kids ingesting or handling toxins, and speak proactively to your kids about the hazards of such challenges. As adults, we need to remember to follow manufacturer instructions and wear protective gear when using any sort of chemical or toxin, to not mix chemicals without understanding the risks, and to take medications according to the directions. In the workplace, look for safety data sheets whenever you work with a potential toxin so you know how to properly handle any protective gear needed, and if you are exposed, what to do to minimize damage. If the worst happens and you or a loved one is exposed to a poison, call Poison Control immediately. I highly recommend saving their number in your phone. That number is 1-800-222-1222. You can call it from anywhere in the U.S. 24/7 and reach a poison control expert. They will tell you how to best minimize any damage from the poison from that point, including any antidotes and seeking medical attention. Please remember this week and every week to be careful around poisons and to teach your kids those things are yucky, too.
This is Jane reading for the Midland Reporter Telegram on Wednesday, March 23rd. This is Jane reading for the Midland Reporter Telegram on Wednesday, March 23rd. Study: 2.5 million middle high school students use tobacco. The latest analysis of smoking habits among U.S. youth describes 2.5 million middle school and high school students as users of some type of tobacco product, combustible, smokeless, or electronic. That equates to about 13% of high school students and 4% of middle school students. The findings are from the 2021 National Youth Tobacco Survey, run jointly by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Food and Drug Administration. They stem from data from a nationally representative sample of over 20,000 students from 279 public and private schools. E-cigarettes, especially flavored ones, were found to be a young smoker's most commonly used product, followed by cigarettes, cigars, smokeless tobacco, hookahs, nicotine pouches, heated tobacco products, and pipe tobacco. The number of users grew when the students were asked if they had ever used these products. Then, more than 6.5 million youth said yes, 34% of high school students and 11% of middle school students. Curiosity and peer pressure were often cited as their reason for first trying e-cigarettes, but those who use e-cigarettes said they do so to deal with anxiety, stress, or depression, or achieve the high or the buzz that comes from nicotine, which is addictive. Health experts agree that smoking comes with a wide range of negative health effects. It can harm nearly every organ in the body and lead to lung and oral cancer, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, high blood pressure, blood clots, vision problems, and more. It is described as the leading cause of preventable deaths. The number of youth who smoke constitutes a serious public health issue, according to the CDC, and could lead to millions of today's teens dying prematurely from a smoking-related disease. This is Jane reading for the Wednesday Midland Reporter Telegram. Fauci, virus cases likely to rise again. A likely rise in U.S. COVID-19 cases probably won't amount to a full-scale surge or prompt a renewal of widespread restrictions, one of President Joe Biden's top advisors said. The bottom line is we likely will see an uptick in cases, as we've seen in the European countries, particularly the U.K., Anthony Fauci, Biden's chief medical advisor, said on ABC's This Week on Sunday. Hopefully, we won't see a surge. I don't think we will. The BA2 subvariant of Omicron is driving up cases in Europe and Asia, notably in Hong Kong, and now accounts for about 30% of infections in the U.S., where indoor mask and vaccine requirements have largely been rolled back. While the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has argued that the U.S. needs to be prepared to resume measures such as requiring masks in indoor public spaces, Fauci said, right now at this point, I don't see that. U.S. cases, hospitalization, and deaths continue to decline. BA2 is about 50% more transmissible than the original strain of Omicron, but it doesn't cause more severe illnesses or evade immunity from vaccinations or an earlier infection, Fauci said. Fauci and U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy urged Congress to pass a stalled package of new COVID-19 relief. The White House has sought $22.5 billion in funding, warning that it will soon have to wind down programs and can't buy more therapeutic treatments. As much work as we've done in the last 2 years to get the right tools, we've got to continue funding them and supporting them so they're available to people across the country, Murthy said on Fox News Sunday. That's why Congress moving to provide that funding is so critical. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell argued that too much money allocated for COVID-19 programs has yet to be spent. They ought to reprogram some of this massive amount that was spent last year that's not out the door yet, the Kentucky Republican said on CBS Face the Nation on Sunday.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. TIA and normal MRI. Dear Dr. Roach, my mother-in-law just had what they thought was a TIA, but her MRI was normal. What does that mean? Answer. A transient ischemic attack is like a stroke, only symptoms are temporary because the brain tissue is not irreversibly damaged. In a stroke, death of brain tissue occurs, but symptoms may be permanent or temporary due to the ability to have a different area take over the function of the damaged area of the brain. An MRI scan using a technique called diffusion-weighted imaging can identify the affected area of the brain after a TIA about half the time if done within 24 hours. Once a TIA is confirmed, treatment such as medication to dissolve clot and improve blood flow can be appropriately guided. Most people with a TIA and stroke also should be on optimum medical and lifestyle therapy to reduce the risk of a stroke. This includes a healthier diet, such as a Mediterranean-style diet, stopping smoking, regular moderate exercise, limited or no alcohol consumption, weight control, and often medication to control blood pressure, as well as a statin drug.
Grandma offers to babysit, but only on her rigid terms. Dear Abby, my husband and I have two elementary-age children. My mother occasionally babysits for us and freely volunteers to do so. If we sometimes hire sitters, she seems offended. However, she insists she must watch the children in our home, never hers. While we appreciate her time, it would be lovely to drop the children off at her home occasionally rather than have to leave our house if we want a date night. I have made gentle suggestions, which she invariably declines. I should mention the condition of her home is borderline hoarder status. We have offered to sort things with her and even hire a company to help her move anything she could not part with. Her house is starting to smell funny, and it's definitely not very clean. I'm at a loss about why she won't address this. It's not a time issue. She's retired. I suspect she's deliberately making the house unwelcoming to avoid having anyone over, including her grandchildren. When she babysits at our house, she sets a very early end time, 9 p.m., then complains about how tired she is and gets a bit martyrish, although she has told me on many other occasions that she enjoys our kids and they are easy to watch. I can't help but feel this issue might be resolved at her house. Am I unreasonable, or do you have other suggestions? Signed, Date Night in Michigan. Dear Date Night, you aren't being unreasonable. I would describe your attitude as entitled. Your mother is also entitled. She's entitled to see the time and place in which she will be performing this free service for you. If your date will extend beyond the time your mom is available, you will have to hire someone else, and she will have to accept it. P.S. Continue to press your mom about the issue of her hoarding, because it may be a symptom of a larger problem. Dear Abby, my partner, Josh, is a musician who insists on still practicing with the band even though he doesn't have gigs. We have two fragile family members who would die if they got COVID, so we have to try to avoid any risks. Still, he does band practice with people outside our household. The bandmates are not careful like we are, and one even has weekly gigs with another band. I want to ask Josh to stop band practice altogether, but I'm afraid he will resent me, fly off the handle, and ultimately end our relationship. I wish I didn't have to worry and ask this stuff, but he keeps putting himself in situations that violate everything we have worked so hard to accomplish. Why is it so hard for him to give up in-person practice? Why can't he put everyone's safety first? I'm so conflicted, Abby. What do I do? Signed, Band Girlfriend in New York. Dear girlfriend, if you are as deeply worried about the safety of your medical fragile relatives as you have stated, you should end the relationship. Josh may need to practice with his bandmates so they don't replace him. He cannot be responsible for their behavior, and for you to expect him to be is unrealistic.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.